Okay, good morning, everyone. Insights into the weekly Parsha. This week's Parsha, Parsha's Tzav. It's Shabbos HaGadol, and although we're not able to actually meet together in shul for the typical Shabbos HaGadol drasha together, the Shabbos HaGadol drasha will be this coming Sunday night at 8 p.m. via Zoom. All the information has been sent out and will be sent out again. But this gives us an opportunity again to learn the Parsha, hopefully to be inspired together and to find some fascinating insights that I'd like to share with you this morning. And the source sheet you see before you, I'm sharing here on this Zoom call in the shared document. We can follow along together. It gives us an opportunity to sometimes, where we spend our time on Shabbos HaGadol exclusively on the Anyone of Pesach, it also gives us an opportunity now to focus a little bit more on the Parshas HaShavua, and that's what we're going to do here this morning as well. So we're back. Insights into the weekly Parsha, Parshas Tzav. So let's begin. We know that in the opening pasuk, in the opening verse of Parshas Tzav, so there's a tzivoy, there's a commandment. Hashem Yisbarach, Almighty God instructs Moshe Rabbeinu and commands to command Aaron. So we see, Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Tzav es Aaron ves banov Lemor, that the command that Hashem gives to Moshe is that he should command his brother Aaron and his sons. What's the command? The command is with regard to the Ola. It's regard to the burnt offering and later to the other karbonos, all of the other sacrifices. That's what we see in Pasuk Beis in verse number 2. Tzavis Aaron v'zbonov lemor. That this is the command that Aaron is given by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not just to Aaron, but it's also to his sons, saying, Zos Torah Ha'ola. Is the law of the burnt offering. We know there's a whole host of different karbonos and all of their meanings and all of the purpose and how the particulars are necessary to be understood and how it's all done. So it's Zos Torah Sa'olahi, Ha'ola al Moikdal Mizbeach, Kol Halayla, Adaboke Vesha Mizbeach Tu Kadbo. That is the burnt offering which burns on the Mizbeach, on the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall burn with it. So this is the opening psukim, the first two verses, and this is, of course, the command that frames the whole parsha of Parshas Tzav. Now, it's interesting to note that if you look here in this second source here, Rashi cites the ambiguous comment of the Torah's Kohanim, and the purpose for which Rashi writes here in this particular Perush, this comment of the Torah's Kohanim regarding the term Tzav. What's the meaning of the word Tzav? What does Tzav mean? To command. It's tzivoy. It's a directive. And it's Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor tzavis Aaron. And the command from Moshe to Aaron is with the word tzav. So what does that word tzav mean? So Rashi explains that it means something very specific. It means a ziruz miyad uledoyres. Rashi says, so as tzav, so ein tzav el eloshin ziruz miyad uledoyres. What does that mean? That anytime you have the word tzav, it always means that there's an urging, or to promptly and to meticulously fulfill a particular commandment. It's a zrizus, it's with an alacrity, it's with a promptness, it's with an immediacy. Yeah? But that's not only as it relates to the certain force for which a person is going to do it in the immediacy for which it presents itself as an opportunity. That's tzav. Don't delay. Don't push it off. Don't allow it to become chametz. Do it immediately. Don't let it leaven. Let it be something that's in its ultimate form, fast and furious. You know that if you push something off, so then immediately what happens is that there is the introducing of the Yetzer Hara that a person's not going to perhaps fulfill the task. So this Tzav Einoi Ela Loshen Zoruz Miyad Uledoros. Not only is it Loshen Zoruz with alacrity, with purpose, but these two words are also very important. We're going to focus our attention on these two words. Miyad Uledoros. What is Miyad Uledoros? It means that it's not only that there's this urging and this immediacy and this intensity that's now needed. It's not only miyad. Miyad means now. You have to do it right now. Don't push it off. But it's also a lesson that's going to be ledoiros. It's going to be something that is going to also need attention for the doros, for the generations that are going to follow, future generations. And that's very, very important to think about ultimately what that means. Okay? Not just now, but for all time. But then Rashi cites the remark of Rabbi Shimon. And this remark of Rabbi Shimon is also fascinating. In this context, what does he say? So he says, Amar Rabbi Shimon, B'yosid tzorech ha-kosuv l'zorez b'mokum she'esh bo cheson kis. Rabbi Shimon taught that this posik and this word And this phrase, if you will, that the Chumash especially needs to urge people to fulfill commandments. It's not just that this is like a nice idea, it's a tangential idea, but people have to be perpetually and ongoingly urged to fulfill the precepts, to fulfill the commandments. But specifically, he says, "B'mokum she'esh bo cheson kis," specifically where monetary loss is involved. And that he quotes the Torah's Kohanim. What does that mean, where there's monetary loss is involved? So it's very important to think about this statement, because I think it has tremendous resonance and tremendous application always, but in particular even now. And I think that this lesson is one that has very deep application. What does it mean that b'makom in the place where there is sheish bo cheson kis? So the pasuk, it means that since this area of law, specifically to the karbonos, so what does it mean to buy a karbonos? So it entails a loss of money. You have to spend from your own pocket. You have to go to your own purse, and you have to spend money to buy karbonos. So it could be that maybe a person is going to be a little bit more reticent. The person is going to be more hesitant. It was particularly important for them to be conveyed, you know, with a degree of emphasis. Not just that you should do it and you should do it with the zrizus, but we're worried that because you're going to have to spend money, people are not so, you know, excited to spend money on the obligatory things, on the recreational things. Perhaps people will be a little bit more forthcoming. But maybe, you know, when it comes to karbanos, when it comes to religious matters, when it comes to the sacrifices that needed to be brought, so Rabbi Shimon is saying that there's something more as it relates to the emphasis and the driving the point home that was necessary. Because lizaris b'makom she'esh bo cheson kis, when there's money involved, and you have to spend money on a mitzvah, I have to buy a lulav and esrog, I have to buy a mezuzah, I need to buy a pair of tefillin, I need to be sure that the sukkah that I buy is kedas v'kedin, but it also maybe it's zekeli v'anvei, I want to spend money. So, all right, maybe some things I'll be more willing to spend money, whereas other things maybe not so much. But here we're being taught that as it comes to the karbonos, maybe a person will think that, why do I have to spend all this money on all these karbonos? I have to spend all this money on karbonos? Nah. So therefore, the urging and the immediacy and the efficacy of the word tzavis, aron, the power of that command, is that it's a zariz, it's a zrizus, it's with alacrity, it's with fulfillment of meticulous and now and promptness, but specifically where there's monetary loss involved, so that needs a greater amount of focus, a little bit more of emphasis. So that's these two verses, opening verses, and these two kind of, they're connected comments, but two specific points that Rashi makes. Tzav es aron, loshen zoriz, it's now and it's ledoros. We have to understand what miyada uledoros means, in this time and immediate of now, and also for future generations, but specifically in the immediacy of understanding in its context as it relates to the karbonos, as it relates to spending money for a mitzvah. Okay, so that's this opening with these psukim and with Rashi. So there's a huge amount of commentary that explains this very enigmatic pasuk, this, you know, these verses, these psukim. And I just want to share with you what I think is just a fascinating perspective. It was written in a sefer, in a book, a beautiful sefer, Me'ein Beis HaShoeva. And the author of Me'ein Beis HaShoeva is Rav Shimon Schwab, a great Talmud Chacham, great sage, from Washington Heights, and Kaldasi Shurin, fabulous orator and fabulous Manig Yisrael. So he wrote this sefer where his comments on Chumash and the Haftorah are just fascinating insights. So he explains, what is this comment of the Torah's Kohanim? What does it refer to? It refers to perhaps a failure to understand what the purpose of karbonos are, what the function of karbonos are meant to be, and ultimately how that played itself out in the period of the time of Bayis Sheni, the period of the Second Temple, which was in the aftermath of how people behaved during the period of Bayis Rishon, how they behaved during the First Temple period. So this is a very important insight. So he explains, I'm just going to read inside and I'm going to translate. So he writes the following. V'nire, it seems, she'habarei barach shemu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hizeres boirav, that there was a command for us, for his creations, for his creatures, for the ones for whom he created us, Adam, man on the surah, miyamois olam, from the beginning of days, from l'dorei deres, and throughout all time, miyamois olam, kishe oiskim ba'avoda hakarbonos, that when a person is oisik in the avodas hakarbonos, in the service of bringing karbonos, lo yenichu es ha'ikar v'yachziku ha'betofel. What does that mean? It shouldn't be, you know, we have the idea of there being something that's ikar and something that's tofel. What's ikar? Ikar means main, and tofel means secondary. You have this in halacha throughout. What is the main part of the sandwich? What's the secondary part of it? I have a bowl of cereal. Do I make a bracha on the cereal? Do I make a bracha on the milk? Ikar and tofel. What's main and what's secondary? So he reminds us that what the purpose of karbanos, it shouldn't be that what a person would erroneously and wrongly do is they'd yanichas ha'ikar v'yachziku b'tofel. They would place to the side, they would push off the part that's most significant, the most important part of the karbanos, and v'yachziku b'tofel, and they would grab on and they would hold on to the part that's less significant. In the world of karbanos, what does that mean? What does it mean that people would put away and cast away the part that's significant and put into their hands the things that are less significant? So he says, she'ikar ha-karbonos hu, the most important part of the karbonos is kavanos halev, is that a person has the requisite amount of kavana, of intention, and the focus for which one's heart is meant to be directed. Why is it that I'm bringing karbonos? She'yachveitz bala karbon li'tohir li'skarev li'yotzer al yideya karbon. You know why a person brings a karbon? The word karbon, the root word, the sharish is karev. A person is bringing a karbon because they want to letaher, they want to purify ourselves. We want to bring ourselves closer to the Ribono Shelam, to Hashem, through the process and through the auspices of bringing a karbon. That's why I bring a karbon. I'm not just simply going through the perfunctory motions of just offering something, through the religious ritual rites of just activity, without the essence of why it is that I'm doing that. And says Reb Shimon Schwab that a person perhaps would be in such a situation, maybe would be in a situation where they take the most important practice called karbanos, which is the episode and the exercise of bringing oneself closer to Hashem, and fail to understand that the essence of bringing your karbon is to do it with your lev, is to do it with your heart, is to do it that is in the process of she'chafetz bala karbon, that this cheftza, this item that a person who's bringing the karbon is, it's the process where a person purifies oneself. It's the process liskarev liyotzrei alidei karbon, and we are able to bring ourselves closer to Hashem. Karov and kiruv. It's not just that, as people erroneously think, that kiruv is for somebody who's not religious, a person's off the path, off the derech. That's called kiruv rechoikim. But there's also something called kiruv krovim. Kiruv krovim means that even the people that are, quote, and supposedly very close, we say karbonos, and we offer tefilos, and we daven regularly. But it's not meant to be the perfunctory, you know, mathematic, clinical, just expression that is just uttering words in haste, uttering words without meaning, uttering words in a period of which we don't understand the impact and the import of what these words are meant to be. The purpose for which we bring karbonos, the purpose for which we daven, is the purpose for which liskariv liyotzer al yidei hakarbon, that we're able to bring ourselves close to Hashem through the process of bringing these karbonos. And this is a very important idea, explains that this is something we also see in other places throughout Tanakh, and I'll just mention one of them. It says, V'chein motzinu etzel kayin. We remember in Bereshis, if we know that in the very first book, in the beginning of Bereshis, after the days of creation, then you have the episode of Kayin and Hevel, and the extraordinary interactions that exist between these two brothers. But there's this transition that takes place where the ultimate fratricide and the breaking of that relationship happens, ultimately where one is despondent and one is reflective, that maybe my offering wasn't accepted. Look what the psukim say. And this is what Shimon Schwab points us to our attention. Says, if you look here where the mouse is, the hevel, kain and hevel, what happens? Hevel hevi gamhu, hevel also brings, he brings from the first of his flocks, and they were fattened, and they were, you know, clearly what he thought were appropriate. And what happens? Ve'yisha Hashem el hevel ve'el minchaso. But what happens? It said, ve'yisha Hashem el hevel ve'el minchaso. So ve'hevi hevel brings the flocks of his fattest, And then Hashem turns to Abel, to Hevel, and to his offering. Okay, good. So Hevel brings this carbon. He's Hevel, Hashem, so Hashem is V'yesha Hashem el Hevel ve'el min chosoy. He turns to his offering. Now what about his brother Cain? Pasuk Hey, vel Cain, and Cain vel min choso. So what about Cain? To Cain and to his offering, lo sha'a. He didn't turn. Vayichar leKayin ma'od, and it annoyed him. Not just a lot did it annoy him, it annoyed him ma'od. So to Hevel's carbon did Hashem turn, but to Cain's carbon he did not turn. Vayiplu ponav, and his countenance fell. He was very upset. Next verse, Vayemer Hashem el Cain, and Hashem says to Cain, Lama charalach v'lama naflu fanecha? Why are you so upset? Why are you so annoyed? Why has your countenance fallen? So he says, so clearly he was upset. He realized that halayim tate, if it will be, that you will improve. Imtative, if you will improve, se'es, v'imlusetiv l'fesa chatos v'revetz v'lecha, teshukosa v'ata tim sholbay. Is it not so that if you do tshuva and if you will improve, that you'll be forgiven? So what does it mean? What's the difference between what Hevel brings and what Cain brings? They both bring karbonos. In one sense, it says that that Hashem turned to Hevel's offering, and to Hevel to Hevel's offering he turns, but to Cain's Hevel he doesn't turn. He doesn't accept his offering. Both are bringing karbonos, but one is accepted, one's not. So one is very annoyed. Cain's upset about it. So we see that there's something about them bringing karbonos. They both are bringing karbonos. One was successful in their activity and one wasn't. Imagine you have a yankel and a beryl. They both come to shul and they both are saying the Shemoneh Esrei. And one leaves the Shemoneh Esrei and they're told right after Shemoneh Esrei, by the way, you spent that time davening. You, yankel, your tefillah was accepted, and you, beryl, your tefillah wasn't. So the person's going to say, I did the same thing. I shuckled. I said the words. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I made the gyrations. I made the movements. I was bowing. I was stepping forward, stepping back. I was doing what I was supposed to be doing. So Beryl's saying, like, I don't understand. So Cain's saying, I don't understand. I also brought a carbon. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him. He says, you know what? You have to improve. There's something about what you did. There's something about what you gave. There's something about how you gave it that there's something wrong with it. And if you'll improve it, you'll be forgiven. And if you don't improve, so the entrance of sin, it's laying at you. It's longing for you. And you're going to fall if you don't. But you can rule over it. The Ata Tim Shobo, you're able to rule over it. You're able to dominate it. You're able to overcome it. You're able to be more powerful than it. And that's very important. Because the Hevel says the Sforno right here, where my mouth says, Shahaya Hevel Makriv Ratzoy. Min Chosu Gamken Ratzoy. Shahaya Min Amin Aroy Ratzoy. To Hevel and his offering, Hashem was pleased with both Hevel himself, as well as with his carbon, as well as with his offering. So it's with him as a person, but it's how he davened, or it's how he gave his carbon. With Cain, it wasn't so, and he was annoyed. So a person he wasn't successful. Hashem gave him the answer. He said, there's something about the improvement that you need to have. So powerful. That's what he says. He quotes the Sefarno. Rav Shimon Schwab brings this idea as one of many. Ki Cain, what's the reason? Ki Cain tohe, because Cain was mistaken. Shadmusu iker chetzo yizbarachu begashmius hakarbon. That really, he writes, that the problem was, is that he made a mistake. The Cain thought that it was the gashmius hakarbon. What's the gashmius hakarbon, b'poil? That it matters like what I bring. It matters that I've brought it. It matters that I just said a Shemoneh Esrei. Did I shuckle? Did I have a sitter in my hand? Did I go through the motions? So that's what Cain said. That's what Cain thought. Says Rav Shimon Schwab that he thought that the gashmius hakarbon b'poil, v'loy b'kavonas halev amakriv. Leave me with all the kavana salev. Leave me with what I need to think about. Forget about the kavana. I don't have to have kavana. That's what was lacking, says Rav Shimon Schwab. What's the error? What was it that Cain had to improve? What was it that he had to better himself in? He had to better himself lest he think that it's only about the karbon. Lest him think that it's only about the physical, the material, the holding of the sitter, the shuckling, the saying of the words, and actually even offering the karbon. Because offering the karbon without kavana salev, without the understanding and the deep meaning of what the heart is meant to also express and feel as part of what one is doing in the offering of this karbona, so it's lacking. Without that heart, without the understanding, without kavana, without the concentration that's requisite, So he's not Yotzidei Chavasa. He has not fulfilled his obligation. Very, very powerful statement. This is the difference between Kayin and Hevel. This is one of the examples that Rav Shimon Schwab brings as proof positive that you see that it's not just simply to bring it, but it has to also be very deeply, deeply rooted in understanding the purpose for which it's meant to be brought. But he emphasizes this point by saying something even more, dramatic as it relates to something that I think could even be on an even deeper level, as deep as this idea is, and as practical and as real as this idea is, but maybe even on a deeper level. Because you see, we have lots of people that are davening, and lots of people are coming to shul, obviously not enough, and now we're maybe, we're painting for that, for sure, hopefully more than ever before are we painting for it. That's surely an issue. People rush through and they don't understand and they don't really appreciate the meaning. But here's something very different and perhaps even more nuanced that he expresses this, in the following way. So he says this. He says the following. We understand from a numerous amount of prophecies of the Nevi'im, of the prophets, that the people during the first temple period, during Bayis Rishon, they were guilty of something very specific that he draws our attention. What was it that the people of Bayis Rishon were guilty of? So he says that from the Nevi'im, from the prophecies of the Nevi'im, when the prophets would speak to the people to, exhort them and to, express, their need to repent, their need to do tshuva, it's because they understood what the avla of the day was. They understood what the hardship or the shortcoming of that period of time was. So what was it that the Nevi'im were prophesizing during Bayis Rishon? So he explains that they were guilty of something specific. They were guilty of affording a disproportionate importance and a disproportionate value to the sacrificial rituals. So they were, giving way too much emphasis to their karbanos. I mean, does that sound even familiar or relatable? It doesn't, because today most shuls, they skip karbanos. Rabbi Pesach Kron says in a number of drushas that that's the most important part. We know that as the Gemara in Tainis, Maseches Tainis teaches that it's the tefillah is b'makom karbon, and the efficacy of saying karbonos, just the mere recitation of the karbonos, is as if a person is makrivoso. It's as if you've brought it. Imagine you can say something and it's counting as if bizman she ain beis hamikdash hayakayim, that now unfortunately there's no beis hamikdash. So we're able to still nonetheless bring karbanos today. You'll say karbanos don't relate to us. Karbanos are not practical. Karbanos are antiquated. They're from years before. The answer says the Gemara, no. By simply saying the karbanos, so a person can have the schus, have the merit, have the fulfillment as if you've actually done them. So what does Rav Shimon Schwab say that the Nevi'im were prophesizing that the people during Bayis Rishon, it was punfakert. It was the opposite. They had overemphasis on the karbanos. So much focus on the karbanos at the expense of others, of other more fundamental Torah values. It's like that was their worship. That was their service. That was their service and exclusively their service. The Nevi'im decried the people's confidence and their confident faith, their confident emunah in the independent power of karbanos, in the independent power of the sacrifices. That was what they thought would earn them atonement and divine favor. That's where they put all their eggs in one basket, all their marbles in this capacity. And that would allow themselves to disregard the basic laws and ethics of morality. Because they could live and let live. They could go outside and they could engage in any promiscuous behavior and they could do any aveira, they could do anything they want. You know why? Because at the end of the day, I'm going to bring a carbon. And the carbon is going to make it all better. I'm just going to say sorry. And I'm going to say sorry. I don't have to mean what I'm saying. I'm going to say sorry. I'm going to bring a carbon. And all is good. Everything will be fine and dandy. So they would disregard the basic laws of ethics. They would disregard the basic value of morality. When they put all their eggs in the basket, they thought that, you know what, if I bring these carbonos, overemphasizing the atonement, the kapara, that and the power of what the carbonos do, and they thought that that's what all they needed to do was. And that's what it was. So rather than approaching the karbonos as a means, as he writes, of drawing closer to Hashem and enhancing a person's devotion and enhancing a person's devakus and enhancing a person's spiritual awareness, So the people, they invested the sacrificial rite, the activity of the karbonos, with independent value that negated the need for an accompanying process of inspiration and spiritual growth. They needed to have, not only to bring it, but there was something that was necessary to be brought along with it as well, which was that there was an accompanying process of kavana, of karbonos, needing the meaning for which why it is that we bring the karbonos, which would facilitate the spiritual growth that was necessary, the spiritual growth that was able to be had. A very important part of this that would make it possible for us to bring it the way it's meant to be brought. And that's what he explains. So what happens? So he explains that that's what happened during the first temple period. So what did the people do in the second period, temple period? And he explains from the prophecies of Malachi and others. So they prophesied during the second period, second temple period, Bayesheni, Barabbas Ayamim Bime Bayesheni, Kiblu Makrivim HaTechochosai, the Techocha, the rebuke of the prophets of Bayes Rishon. So the people who lived during the time of Bayesheni, so They took the prophecy and they took the musar and they took the rebuke. The divrei neviyov ad sheyagil l'svara hafocha. The idea of vina hafeichu. They took it hafuch. They took it in the opposite extreme way. What did they do? Dahainu sheim ha'ikr b'karbon hu hirhurei b'tshuva. If the most important part of the karbonos is that people should have thoughts of repentance, v'kavanas halev, and they should have clarity of heart, and they should have purpose of concentration of what the actual action is meant to be. Meichbas la'Hashem b'bitzuras ha'karbon. So you know what the people said? So they learned the lesson. You know, the people of Bayis Rishon era, they didn't learn their lesson. They didn't learn the lesson. But the people of the Bayis Sheni era, they read the books, the history books of Bayis Rishon. They read the history of where people fell short, and they saw and perhaps learned that the people didn't understand the purpose of karbanos. So they said, we're going to learn that. What do we know about karbanos? That they need kavanas halev. They need to have deep inside the meaning of what the purpose for why karbanos are being brought to bring close to Hashem. So you know what they realized? They went, it was like a pendulum that swung. There was one extreme in the Bayis Rishon area time, and now there's another extreme in the Bayis Sheni area. They said to themselves, says Rav Shimon Schwab, they thought that, okay, it's not necessary for us to even bring karbanos. If the most important part of it is kavanas halev, is intention of the heart, okay, so let's just have intention of the heart, and it's not so important to bring the karbanos. Maybe the karbanos is secondary. Secondary to them might have meant that they don't have to bring it. They don't have to do it. Or shall I say, maybe I don't have to spend money on it, because if it's not as important for me to focus on what I'm bringing in the world of the actual item, but it's more important for me to focus on what I need to have in my kavana and my intention, so let's focus on that, and let's not focus so much on the monies, and so therefore maybe I'll save my money. I don't have to spend money on the carbon. And that's what he says took place in the temple, in the second temple area, Bayis Sheni. And so therefore, the Jews of the second temple, they treated the temple and its rituals with a degree of indifference. And he writes, if not even some bit of disdain, so much so, it's as if, they asked themselves, why should money be spent for the high quality sacrifices if at any event, Hashem is more interested in one's thoughts, one's feelings, one's general ethical conduct? That's what matters most. What matters second is actually the carbon. So why have to spend all this money? I'll get a carbon. I'll get something, but I don't have to get the best. If, as the first temple prophets insisted, the karbonos lose their value when they're brought without accompanying feelings of religious devotion, which is what they understood, then there is no need, the people thought, to concern themselves with the formal technicalities that apply to these rituals. What do I need to be busy with these rituals for? The rituals are secondary. So we can add. We might add that the Navi Chagai, so prophesied in the early years of Bayis Sheni, he condemned the Jews' laxity in rebuilding the Mikdash. Why? Because it seems as almost as if that they were already at a point that they had reversed their attitude from the overly temple-centric mindset. They realized that temple maybe wasn't as important, and that led the peoples, their spiritual decline, during the years of the first of Bais Rishon, the first temple. So since there was this decline in this intermittent period between Bais Rishon and Bais Sheni, so now they don't have to focus on the temple-centric needs. Ah, what do I need a carbon? What do I need carbonos? What do I need Beis HaMikdash? You know, today people talk about needing and wanting the Beis HaMikdash. Many people don't even know what a Beis HaMikdash is, and certainly they don't know what it will be when it comes. And if I don't know what it is, and I don't know what it will be when it's going to come, so why? How can I possibly yearn for it? How can I possibly want it? And that's what he explains, that there was this huge transition that took place. And that's what Rav Shimon Schwab writes, Aval Tohu Bazeh. This was a huge mistake. Very big mistake that the people made. What was the mistake that these people made? They made the mistake in swinging the pendulum in the other direction. The mistake that the people made in Bais Rishon period is that they just offered carbonos, thinking that they didn't have the need, or they could live life one way and do something else in the synagogue, in the temple. They didn't have the need for kavanas halev. Bais Sheni, they said, well, if the most important part is the kavanas halev, then I don't even need the expenditure of the carbonos. I don't have to be expressive with my expenses. I don't have to do that. Aval Tohu Bazeh, he writes, this is a huge mistake. Ki af im yagia ha'adam lekavanas hachi nisgavais b'shas harkabon osala levatel shum diktuk shel aveda b'maisa. Means that they were flawed, they were wrong. It means that even if it will be that they're going to be medayik and diktuk of kavanas halev, that they're going to have, let's call it even the ikar, the most important part, which is they understood what was most important, which was kavanas halev, that does not mean that you're able to be mevatel the havoida b'maisa. You're not able to be mevatel to disregard and discontinue the actual service as it's meant to be done. And that's something that he emphasizes, that was the mistake. And that, he says, this passage of the Torah's Kohanim, writes of Shimon Schwab, is this is Lafi Nirali Yuvan Haziruz Miyad Uladoiris. Those words that it's necessary, this Tzavis Aaron Vesbonov Miyad Uladoiris, now and Ladoiris Doiris for generations. You know what this command in Parshas Tzav, where some people think that the Karbonos in this Parsha has no relevance and no relatability? No, Miyad Uladoiris means that it means that it's talking to us. It has ultimate relatability. It has ultimate reliance on practicality of what it is now. Why? Because he explains, it refers now to the development that occurred during the second period of time. And Moshe Rabbeinu is to impress upon Aaron and to the Kohanim and to all of the Jewish people the importance of strict compliance with the details of the sacrifice of the karbonos as they're meant to be offered, miyad uladoris, now in all time, anticipating, he writes, that there would be a development that would take place centuries later, in our time. Now when he speaks of the concern for chisaron kis, when Rashi speaks, as Rav Shimon Schwab, of the concept of losing money, financial loss, that may lead people to disregard the karbonos, he refers to the attitude that people are going to have. The attitude, not just that they're going to spend all this money and, you know what, I have to spend this money if I could focus on, you know, on the kavana. But this is an attitude. There's an attitude adjustment that would be necessary. He sees no purpose in spending money for proper karbanos, given that they're secondary in status of importance in relation to internal devotion and ethical conduct. As long as I know what I'm doing, as long as I have kavana salev, I'm good. Answer is that no. Even though that's going to be the precipitator for which you might decide, I'm not going to spend any money on any carbonos, that's not what's correct. The importance of strict obedience to ritualistic details thus requires zeros. It requires alacrity. It requires a constant reinforcement, not just then, and not just now, but l'doyrei doyrois, in every generation. It's meant for us to think about it on a very deep level, not just to go through the perfunctory and think that it doesn't have a deep meaning. And even if it will be that you think that it only has a deep meaning and I don't need the rituals, okay, I'm going to have kavana. I'm a good Jew. I give charity. What do I have to do the rituals for? I have to go to services. I have to bring, meiser money to the synagogue. I have to do all of the mitzvahs, lulav and esrog, and sit in the sukkah. I have to shake the dalet minim. I have to light the menorah. I have to give shalach manos. I have to sit in a Purim Suda. Come on. As long as I'm one with God, as long as I have the right kavanas, I don't need all the rituals. You've never heard people say that. I hear it all the time. Rabbi, you're so pre-consumed, you and your following and your flock and your community. There's so many things to do. Forget all the things to do. I'm a good person. I'm charitable. I'm benevolent. I'm kind. I'm humanistic. I'm loving. I love people. I'm charitable. But that's not the be-all, do-all, end-all. You have to have that because that's what Bais Rishon was lacking. But to only have that, that's also what Bais Sheni was lacking. And that's the tikkun. That's the remedy that we're supposed to have in this period of time. Although it is certainly wrong to focus one's attention entirely on ritual and neglect the general values advocated by the Torah, a person has to also ensure not to disregard the formal details of Jewish ritual and concentrate exclusively on the Torah's ethical code, assuming people are even focused on the Torah ethical code. Sometimes people say, I'm a good person, I'm charitable, I'm benevolent, I'm kind. It has nothing to do with the Torah. They're just a good person. They're not robbing banks and mugging, innocent people on the street and cursing people out and cheating on their tax returns and looking at things they shouldn't be looking at or interacting with people they shouldn't be interacting with and saying things they shouldn't be saying. They're good people. They're basic, law-abiding citizens. We don't just do that because of the Bill of Rights or the amendments and the commandments of the law of the land. We do that also. We do it because we're banim la'Hashem Elokeichem. We're children of Almighty God, and we are to follow the Torah. That's why we're good. But not just good from the ethical Torah, ethical code standpoint, but also from the ritualistic part of it. And component of this and that as well. And that's what it says, Lafi Yuvan Hazirus Miyad Ulidoires. That's why this is something that has to be for now and Ulidoire Doires and for all generations. Why? Because Tzrichim Lizares Es Adoires Sabayim Bimokum Shemargishim Chisron Kis. This is something that is meant to be further and immediately and constantly reinforced for every generation, our generation being the most immediate generation that needs to be mechazek and strengthen this. That is going to come, but makom shemargishim chesron kis, that feel that, I don't have to spend my money on mitzvos. I don't have to spend my money on Jewish education. It's too expensive. I'm a good person. I'll teach my children to be good people. I'll teach them to be charitable and kind. No. We spend money on Jewish education because we want to teach our children to have Torah values, and to be Torah literate, and to be Torah competent, and to be Torah knowledgeable. And therefore, it's necessary for us specifically to, whether it's spending money on any mitzvah or spending money on any capacity in this regard, karbanos, bechesron kis, don't think that you're going to be saving money and think that you're doing a service. You're not. Really, what has to happen is that a person has to spend what needs to be spent for avodas Hashem. Seinu on the tzrichim gam kein yoisa zeros. We need to also strengthen this and be mechazik this. Because, he says, v'myeimer adam lamali b'berirus es hamilim shel kriyashma. He gives a final example, which I think is fascinating and so important. In Shulchan Aruch, we speak about how important it is for a person to have a clarity of enunciation of the words in the kriyashma. You'll see the lines that exist between words, because we don't want to have, as the Gemara says, a run-on and a run-in with certain words, because we have to have clarity. If one word that ends with a tough begins with one likewise, so it's not clear if you've slurred the words together, and by slurring the words, you haven't enunciated them properly, and therefore the meaning is compromised. So there's a tremendous amount of brirus, of being borrowed, being clear, of how a person davens, and when a person davens, and the mechanisms of that. But lest the person say, why do I have to be so conscientious with that? Come on, that's ridiculous. Why? What will I think? Hello, Ekerhu lechavin bach. Isn't it true that I have to be focused on the Achdus Hashem, on the oneness with Hashem, and the Yichud Hashem, and the closeness with Hashem? So anachnu limtzu nafshenu over kedushas Shemo Yisbarach. Is it not true that I just have to focus on Kedushas Hashem and Kiddush Hashem? What do I have to be so busy with and so focused on the words and saying them, enunciating them? That's not the most important part. As long as I have Kavana, as long as I basically think of, basic understanding of it. So he says, Ta'osi. It's a grave, great mistake, Biyado. V'yotzi dechavaso. A person will think, I don't have to be particular in diktu kamilim, in the particular of the words, but as long as I just have the kavana, no. It means that I also have to have the kavana. And if I don't have the kavana, it's l'yotzei dechavasi. I have not fulfilled my obligation, and therefore I have not, you know, done what I have to do the way it's meant to be done. And sadly, what happens is that there's so many people thinking that the religious activities and obligations that they're, quote, checking off the boxes and doing, they're not actually doing them. We're not actually doing tefillah the way it's meant to be. We're not meant to just go through the robotic mechanisms for which we are supposed to just check things off and say that we're doing them to just get them done with. It's supposed to be fully, you know, emplaced with the spiritual level of intention and kavana, the way it's meant to be, all of our tefillos, all of our davening, and all of our ritual practice. And so that's what we're trying to do with this tikkun, with this fixing for which we find ourselves now in the solitude and in the unusual circumstances of our own davening. Take, for example, in the karbonos. Tzav es Aaron vezbonov. Our children, our grandchildren, our dorei doros. It's not just now, it's l'dorei doros. B'mokom sheyesher lo chesron kis, where money is on the table. Not just that I'm going to spend so much money on doing something, I don't want to spend that money. Maybe I don't even have to spend that type of money, because the most important part is the kavana. Says Rav Shimon Schwab, is that the kavana is absolutely necessary and critical, but not at the expense that a person's not going to do the first part also. Both of these parts are necessary. The carbon, the bringing, the tefillah, the doing, the ritual, the activity, and also making sure that it's understood the purpose for which we do these things. One without the other, it's this algorithm that's lacking. It's lacking greatly to the extent that it's l'yotzei dechavaso. It means I have not fulfilled my obligation, and it's something that needs, and tzrichim chizuk, it needs to be strengthened now and always. And this is a fabulous time for us to be doing that, and to being focused on positive and bettering and consecrating ourselves through our deed, through our spoken words, and through our actions in every way that we possibly can. So here are these sources here. I'm happy to share them with you for anybody who's just joined or wants to get these sources listening to this recording. Otherwise, I wish everybody